Hey everybody, quick content warning for talk about sexual assault around the 4 minute mark until about the 7 minute mark in relation to some of the ongoing plot stuff happening this season. Otherwise, enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome in, my O-Niners. PCHers, junior private detectives, Hearst College whatevers, 21 Jump Streeters, and poor children affected with bone cancer to Life on Mars, the Veronica Mars Rewatch podcast we go through episode by episode. I'm Brenton.
And I'm Emily. Oh, how does 21 Jump Street play in?
We're here to talk about season 3, episode 5, President Evil, which guest stars Richard Grieco, who was one of the two stars of 21 Jump Street.
Is that who the dad is? The deadbeat dad?
Stephen Bitondo. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's Richard Grieco. I wrote down, I'm like, oh my God, I know this actor. I know this face. Like, and I underlined it. And I'm like, I need to go back and look at this. I'm like, oh, right.
The
better of the 21 Jump Streeters.
I don't know if I like remember 21 Jump Street.
It was like a decade before us. I saw like maybe, I've only seen it a few times. But
what was the remake with Jonah Hill?
21 Jump Street.
Uh-huh. Was that a remake of the same story or was it a different?
No, I mean, so 21 Jump Street was a show where Richard Grieco and Johnny Depp are high schooler.
Oh yeah, because then they guest star in the movie. It's like a funny little thing at the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah, where they're
why do I remember this movie so well?
It's a really funny movie.
But
I've seen
never remember movies, you know that, unless it's like something I've watched more than once.
Did you?
Unless
I feel like it was on a lot in college.
I didn't really watch TV. You know when I watched TV in college?
I just meant with like amongst peers.
I only watched TV with you, and then I watched movies on my Xfinity account, but I didn't watch 21 Jump Street.
Gotcha. Okay.
I watched This Is the End a lot.
I see.
And Breakfast at Tiffany's. It was really curated list.
It's quite the expanse.
Let me tell you about a classic.
I really liked the remake.
Of 21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
I was like, there's no Breakfast at Tiffany's remake.
No,
I was
getting
clutching my pearls.
Yes, from Tiffany's. It was a TV show originally.
Got it. I knew that. I just didn't remember that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that before is what I should have said.
Right. I mean, it was before our time.
Well, there we go. I learned something new every day.
Yep. And
sometimes I learn the same thing multiple days.
Yeah, and it's hard being a protagonist when you won't give your own bone marrow to your son, even though you don't have visitation.
I would give my bone marrow to a stranger, like if they needed it.
Yeah, totally. I know getting the bone marrow out is an extremely painful process, but Jesus.
Dying is a not cool thing.
Yeah, that's a worse process. Yeah. On the hierarchy.
And like, yeah, I don't know. People aren't on.
Yeah. Well, would you like to start off with Glass? The end of Class, of course.
Glass?
Class.
Class. Yeah. I was like, no, I would not like to start with Class.
No, Class, the thing I have none of.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. School in the summer over here. Okay. It's, I have to, that... They use that as a serious line. We've talked about this before, but for listeners who are not talking to me about Scrubs, it was used as a serious put down from Turk to JD in an episode. And I was just like, seriously? Because they end on this like there's an ominous music note after Turk says that to JD. And it's like, damn, like friendship ended.
You know what I realized? My family was so like... sarcastically mean, like my extended family and myself growing up, that like it would take a lot for me to be like offended by like anything that even sounds remotely like a cliche.
Yeah,
because I just like assume it's like, oh, you love me, you just don't know how to process your emotions.
So you're calling me school in the summer.
Yeah, you know what, at least I have free time.
Well, I'm making money at my job.
Exactly. Yeah, let's go to Class. So, we're getting out of class and we go find Claire. And Claire was the girl who was raped in the most recent of the serial rapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the woman from the photograph from, and also part of said Pi Sig
party
trial. Yeah.
So Veronica's like, "Hi, Claire. I have this photo from the ATM. Would you like to see it and tell us who this man is?" And she's like, "Sure."
I just imagine that she came up. She's like, "Hey, Claire, I have this photo of the ATM. You want to see it?" What is it?
I've never seen a sexier ATM in my life.
Yeah. Look at those fucking numbers.
So Claire's like, "Yeah, like, you know, better to see it." And so she sees the photo and she's like, "Yeah, I want to see it because I also withdrew like the max I could withdraw from my account, apparently." She's like, "So yeah. I got raped and I paid for the privilege," which was just to me. I was like, "Ooh, what like a knife and a dagger and a heart." I almost said heart and dagger.
Heart and dagger.
You put my heart in a dagger.
It's my country
dagger
song.
In the heart kind of line. But
it's my bar, actually.
Oh, God. You are not running a bar. You're not opening a bar.
No.
No.
Why'd you open a bar? You don't drink. I don't know.
I just like the bottles.
And I'm a morning person, too, so this hasn't really worked out.
Bar closes at 8 p.m.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, well, every now and then we'll stay up late and we'll have like we'll watch a show at like 9, but like bar closes at 10.
Oh my God.
Shoo everybody out once it's over.
They make the best mimosa and brunch you've ever had. So she looks at the picture that Veronica shows her and she's like, I don't know who that man is. I've never seen him before in my life. And she's like, "Hey, Claire, do you know what the sign, like there's a symbol on the guy's shirt?" And she's like, "Do you know what it is or what he's wearing?" And she's like, "I don't." And so Veronica's like, "I'll have to enhance this later and use my technology."
Yes, CSI technology here.
So then we go to class and we're in criminology. And our TA is running the class because our professor's being a witness, but like a professional,
God, my brain is so poisoned. It said, I can only think of character witness. It's a
yeah, like he's giving his professional opinion on a trial.
Yeah.
I'm committing a major shame to all of the lawyers in my family.
Poop.
I apologize, but also I didn't take the bar. I didn't even take the LSAT. But so he's running the class and he's like, "Let's do oral arguments. Who should I pick on today? Veronica, because I'm sexist."
Mm-hmm.
How dare this girl be pretty and smart?
Right.
Ugh.
She outclassed me on the first day.
And she's pretty, and we can't have that. Gotta make pretty girls feel bad. Blonde girl dumb.
Right. In my previous life as a janitor, she got me arrested.
I always forget it's the same person.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It will never stick in my brain.
I don't know why I can pick it out. Because it's not like there's any like
I can pick out
tissue.
I picked out we just started watching The Queen's Gambit. It's really good. You should watch it if you're not. And Dudley Dursley from Harry Potter is one of the characters in it.
Yeah, that was a weird
and
one.
We're sitting in the seat, we're watching this scene, he's playing chess against the main character, and I'm like, "I know this person," and you're like, "Do you know who it is?" And you looked it up, right?
Yeah, I had to look it up because I'm like, I can't place him.
And I was like, we did a little 20 questioning. I was like, "Was he in something?" And he's like, he's in like a series of movies you like.
Not a mineral.
And I was like, "Oh, is he a child in it or an adult?" Because you know how like you really can't tell after a certain age. We're at that age now where I'm like, I don't know if anyone my age is 22 or 40.
No, and a brief tangent inside this tangent. People have gotten very mad in the video game community because they redesigned what Peter Parker looks like in the Spider-Man games, and he looks young, like way younger. He just has like a baby face, and he's supposed to be like 20s. Mm-hmm. And people were like, "He looks 15." And then on a podcast, someone else was like, "I don't think you know what 15-year-olds look like anymore."
Yeah. Yeah. And some of us had baby faces for a long time.
Yeah, I have a baby face. So every day, it has been an ongoing thing. And I'm just sitting over here in the corner listening to my podcast, just like, "Hey," getting offended.
You got ID'd taking me to a rated R movie.
Mm-hmm.
At 23.
Did not trust me.
He did not.
No, and then he was just like, ooh, yeah, well, here's your ID back. It was like when I got carded getting cold medicine, and then like the woman who carded me like looked at me like very sheepishly, like, oh God, I'm so sorry, you're like 25.
I was able to guess it, that it was Dudley, but like it was one of those like, oh, I could put that one together. Like, I'm usually pretty, if I know the show well enough, I can put it together. But if I don't, I would never fucking notice.
Yeah. And Lucky's such a small part in the last season.
He makes me physically uncomfortable, and so I like block him out.
Totally. And the weird thing is that they, in season two, that I don't think we really talked about, that like kind of bugged me, like looking back on it, is how much they talk about his connection to Meg's family without really anything, any payoff around that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
I know that, like, because they know of his trauma and things, but, like, I don't know. It was just kind of a weird thing to rope in. Anyway.
Well, now our criminal janitor is our criminology TA. And, well, I say criminal in the loose sense. He was not really, I mean, he was just uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to have a weapon on campus.
No. Yeah. He did perform crimes and did go after, try and bribe Woody, but he was like a very damaged person.
When you say performed crimes, I just picture like a stage show.
Yeah. For my next act.
I put on my tap shoes. And
I guess that's just the Joker, right? The Joker, he performs crime. He doesn't just do crime.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I get it. I get why.
In this essay, I will.
I'm not really into like any of those like the Joker-esque like bad guys movies. You know what I mean? But like, you know, yeah. I like that as a concept.
Yeah. I mean, I will never watch that movie, The Joker, that came out. But I feel like the depiction of the Joker I know from those other movies
and cartoons.
In the cartoons, yeah.
But yeah, so our TA, our criminology TA is like...
It's going to be my t-shirt, actually. Joker doesn't do crime. He performs them. Performs in a like special font. Anyway.
Oh my God. I'll make it for you. I'll design it for you on Canva and you can put it on a shirt.
Thank you.
So I'll sell it. That's what I'll do for you for Christmas. I'll make you an iron-on.
Yeah. My first shirt.
But so, for shirt.
Yeah. I do it. This is merch for Veronica Mars podcast.
Doesn't make any sense.
No connective tissue.
We're gonna get hit with lawsuits from DC. We're gonna get hit with lawsuits from Veronica Mars. Just everybody's coming after us.
Why would you do this? We get literally no upside from you selling DC related merch.
But anyway, so our TA is like, Veronica, I pick on you because I hate women, and she's like, hmm, and then in walks Weevil, and she's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do my thing. And he's like, Veronica, the professor did not like you're not allowed to bring other people in for your oral argument or whatever. And she was like, I can bring in an audio or visual, or audio visual, supplements, I guess, or something. Yeah. To join this. So I've brought this man. He is both audio and visual. What? And then her presentation is all about how socioeconomic status can lead to crime, and like why poverty tends to be connected to crime, and how people who are born into poorer communities are more likely to join things like games or motorcycle clubs or things like that. Mm-hmm. And she even highlights his leadership, which I love. I'm like, hire Weevil right then and there. You know what? At age what? Like 14, he's head of the PCHers, or 16 or whatever.
Uh-huh. It's really funny because it's like, oh yeah, I'm like really on board. Like, this is a great thing to bring into the show. And then it just turns into Weevil show and tell of like, yeah, it like stole things a lot and people being like, that's so cool.
Well, and it's like a bunch of white people. He's like, yeah, I stole my first bike when I was 6. They're like, hey, right. I got this guy's car crush, but he wasn't even the person we meant to go after.
Yeah, and everybody's like, wow, that's crazy.
And so one of the white girls in the class asks, can you leave your life of crime behind? Or like, do you miss it? And he's like, I mean, I want to leave it behind and I hope to, but like, of course I miss it. Like, that was my community, which is a beautiful way of setting that up, which is why the rest of the episode annoys the shit out of me.
Yes, absolutely. So we immediately backslide.
Yeah, it's like playing chutes and ladders, and you just keep hitting chutes after the first ladder. You know, you like my analogy?
Yep. Just thinking episode 5, all chutes.
After class, Veronica and Weevil are talking, and he's like, "Nice necklace." And she's like, "Thanks. It was Lily's. I've been thinking about her lately. She gave it to me." And he's like, they're talking, and he sees a hot girl, and then he says something about how, like, she should keep her boyfriend on a tight leash or whatever, because there's a lot of hot girls at college. And she's like, "Yeah, that's at least of my worries with Logan." And he's like, "You're dating Logan?" And I'm like, "Where do you live, sir?"
One jail.
The gossip channels in Neptune are lacking. If this was Gossip Girl, everyone would know.
Totally. But he's also
California versus the East Coast.
He's in a completely different socioeconomic bracket, went to jail, and is disconnected from the rest of his community.
True.
But yeah, it also maybe I'm like, oh, right. They only recently started dating again. They weren't doing that last season.
Yeah. He's mad about that, and he walks away because he's angry with her for dating Logan.
Yeah, and it was the reason of like how he treated Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh right, interesting. Make that connection again, because you know, Lily was around, quote unquote, in season 2, but like not really. Like no one was actually referencing her as like a part of their lives, and it's like funny to like bring that back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's once you get rid of Duncan in season 2.
Yeah.
Lily as a concept is mostly gone. So then we go to class with Wallace. Everyone's in class today. Wallace gets a test back, which makes sense. It's a school day.
Would make sense.
And he looks questionable. His reaction is questionable, but the professor in general is like, "Hey, everyone did really shitty."
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's why you grade on a curve.
Mm-hmm.
But we get stuck with a really boring Wallace episode.
Yeah. So then Veronica's back at Mars Investigations, and she's like, "Oh my god, Dad, did you see that there's a Porsche outside? It's partially parked in the red zone. Should we call the meter maids basically to come tow it? It'll be fun to watch." And she'd gone out to go get takeout, and she's making jokes about this Porsche, and then her dad's like, "Honey, please come in here." And she walks in, and it is her principal, the dean.
I was gonna be like, we're in college now.
The chancellor.
The chancellor, yes, chancellor.
I don't know what the difference is.
Chancellor emeritus. I couldn't tell you.
So the dean Odell is there with his wife.
They do something that I really hate in shows is when the characters call out the, like. Obviously, the writer's perceived opinion of the attractiveness between two people. Because Veronica goes like, "Oh, hi, Dean. Who's the smoking hot babe?" And it's like, okay, like, all right.
Yeah.
Do we need to call attention to this, that you think they're like mismatched?
Yeah, it's like intentionally he has a hotter younger wife.
Uh-huh. And then she of course goes like, "Oh, thank you." And it's like, okay.
Yeah, she's right, like, I think there was a compliment buried in there.
Yeah.
She doesn't fawn over it.
Yeah, kind of.
But it's still gross.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so annoying. It happens.
We cut back to Wallace. Wallace wants to drop his class. TA's like, teacher's like, "You should have dropped last week." Veronica's sitting at the desk while she's eavesdropping on her father, basically, and mm-hmm. she realizes that the guy from Claire's photo at the ATM is wearing a Camp Waterloo shirt, so she calls the camp, and she pretends that she went there and that she wants to get a group list from the last couple years so she can plan a reunion because she loved it there. She loved horseback riding and all of the other things they listed on the website that the camp does. And the woman's like, "Yeah, I'll email it to you, but like, it'll take a while because we're slow."
Mm-hmm. I gotta sort through a bunch of stuff.
The dean is like, "My stepson's dying, and we need to find his deadbeat dad because he wants to see his dad before he dies." And Veronica's like, or and the dad's like, okay, Keith's like, yeah, for sure, I'll help you find this father so that the son can see him, because sad story, and Keith Mars and big heart.
Yeah. Well,
So then it's Halloween, right?
Yes.
Or around Halloween.
It is Halloween. So, you're right, around Halloween. All the decorations are up and everything.
So for the Halloween night, what Veronica wanted to do was hand out candy, and what Logan wanted to do was go to the guy's card room. So they struck a deal to do both. So Veronica goes to meet Logan at the card room of the kid who made fun of the kid with the stutter who had stolen the playbook.
Mercer.
Go to Mercer's room. She's like, Logan will be here after his class. So she beats Logan there. I don't know what her costume is. I don't know what his costume is.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Let me see if I can track it down real quick.
I thought maybe it was like Pulp Fiction, but like made for TV. You know what I mean? Like really like PG.
Yeah. I am going to look it up right now to see if I can find it.
Well, while you do that, I'll explain what happened. So Veronica's in the card room. Logan's not there yet. In walk two men with masks and guns. They're yes. like, give us all your money. Only one of them talks. Give us all your money. Give us your wallets, your purses, everything. So they're giving things to them. This guy comes up to Veronica, the other guy, the one that wasn't talking, and he points at her necklace that was Lily's. And he's like, give me that. And she's like, no way. You don't want to do that. And so then the other guy that was talking comes up and takes the necklace off of her. Like rips it off her neck, which is not how necklaces work. It would really hurt to have someone rip a necklace off your neck, and it would break the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Necklaces, absolutely. So you'd have to get a new chain for that necklace.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with tearaway necklaces. They use them a lot in television, which is another reason why, you know, television was designed by men.
There you go. But yeah, no,
non-necklace wearing men.
And it is definitely a thing that happens outside the show.
No, it happens all the time. It drives me nuts. That's not how necklaces work. They take the necklace, they take everything else. Then the campus police come to interview everyone afterwards. The campus police are like made fun of for being not real cops. They suck, whatever. They're interviewing everyone. They're like, Mercer, we told you to shut down your card room forever ago and you didn't. So like, this isn't our problem. Logan gets there. He's like, what the hell is going on? And Veronica's like, oh, two guys held up the casino, dorm room casino. And they stole my necklace, Lily's necklace. And he's like, And she's like, so I'm going to kill them, but not, you know. Very Liam Neeson for her necklace.
Yeah, going to get it back. So I looked up Halloween costumes.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly, they're the White Stripes.
Oh.
Yeah. Fucking what? Really? And then another thing, this robbery is very Point Blank. Point Break, because they're wearing the president masks.
Yes. So Lamb shows up. He's like, what happened? Why is there an illegal casino here?
Mm-hmm. After the on-campus police shows up.
Yes.
I already said that. Oh, sorry.
We talked about the on-campus police and how apologies. They weren't helpful.
Yeah, apologies.
It's okay. You were looking things up. Lamb shows up, and then Veronica thinks it's Weevil.
Boo.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
Then we cut to Wallace. He's studying in his dorm. Knock at the door. Or his door was open, but you know what I mean. Another, I'm assuming, basketball team player comes in. He's like, Wallace, let's go out and party. And Wallace is like, no, I need to study because I'm failing mechanical engineering and I want to be a mechanical engineer.
Yeah. His friend is named, credited as Mason. Mm. But yeah.
He's like, no, Wallace, let's go out tonight. And so Wallace decides to go.
Right. Yeah. Because he's like, I've got a guy with a study guide and I'll get I've you got that a tutor. Later. Yeah.
So then we cut back to Cyrus Odell and Keith. Keith is like, hey, I found your stepson's dad, or your son's dad. He's currently making his living as a voice actor, so I think I have an easy way to trap him into getting here to see you guys to see the sun. Veronica, on the other hand, is like, you know what? I'm going to take justice into my own hands and see if I can get my necklace back, because I don't care if Weevil's stealing, but I care if he steals from me. And he knows I had that necklace of Lily's, and he was mad at me. So he's got motive, in quotes.
Yeah, big old quotes.
Veronica breaks into his apartment with backup, and Weevil comes home. He walks in, and she's like, where'd you put my necklace? And he's like, I didn't steal your necklace. And she's like, yes, you did. You stole it. You just sat in front of my class and told everyone you missed your life of crime because you liked The Rush and your community and all that. And he's like, how dare you accuse me? And he's like, it's no wonder you don't have any more friends. And then he's like, backup, you can stay, but your girl's gotta go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fair. You and backup go way back.
Backup, you want to hang out, watch a movie?
Yeah, we can go to pizza.
I'll drive you home afterwards. She's gotta go.
But you know, how's backup gonna ride on the back of the motorcycle?
Oh, that's true. Okay,
gotta get a sidecar.
Oh yeah,
what if Weevil had a sidecar?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I've got one. He probably would.
Yeah, take the cousins around or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
What a win. Do you think Herman would ride in a sidecar?
I don't. Yeah,
you'd have to buckle him in.
Yeah, buckle him in for sure. That dude would try and get out.
Well, but he's out cold right now.
Yeah.
Usually our dog barks at us while we're recording, but today he is sleeping like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Good timing.
Yeah, we usually don't record it this time, middle of the afternoon, so we got him at a good time in his nap.
Yeah, we got him during his nap. So anyway, then we go back to Mars Investigations, and Cliff is there to help them run a nice little fake audition to for voice acting to get Steve Batondo's presence there so that they can
deadbeat Steve.
Oh my god. So that they can, you know, the Odells can talk to him. So what they've done is Keith and Cliff are pretending to be voice actors auditioning for a role, and they had Steve also sign up to audition to be a voice actor. Veronica pretends to be the receptionist, which, as she says, pretend. I am the receptionist.
Right. Yeah. I don't know where I'd get that kind of experience.
And then when he's called, he goes into Keith's office, and Mr. Odell, Dean Odell, and his wife are there, and they're like, we need you to stay and hear us out because your son needs bone marrow and you're the only match. And he's like, how do you know I'm a match? You won't even let me see my son. And they're like, well, because the paternity test, we know you're a match. And he's like, well, you made it very clear that he's not my son. He's Cyrus's son, when you wouldn't let me have access to him or whatever. Which, might I remind you, children are not responsible for the actions of their parents, even during custody battles.
Absolutely. And honestly,
you seem like a dud, sir.
Exactly. I know there are a lot of fathers out there that can be awful. That can be, you know, just straight up not good parents. But there is a hierarchy when someone is going to die. Mm-hmm. Especially a child. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Narcissism runs deep, though.
Uh-huh. Then we see... We are in a parking lot with Weevil. We see Logan talking to a lady over by his car. And Weevil walks up to him, and he's like... trying to pick a fight with Logan because he's protective over Veronica.
Yep.
And he saw him talking to a girl. So he's like, excuse me, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, ooh.
Let's catch
rolling
this.
Up the sleeves. Caught you.
Yeah. A cop car pulls up while they're talking. It's Sheriff Lamb. He's like, hey, Weevil, is this your lowrider? We're going to search it because we have some sort of cause to believe that you stole those things. And then in his car,
we have racial profiling to believe that you have stolen goods.
Mm-hmm. Based on your previous history and no other evidence, we have decided that you must have done this because even though this town has a lot of people and a college, it must be you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So they search his car and they find an item that was stolen from the party. I think it was like a watch or a watch chain or a piece of jewelry or something. Weevil's like, that's not mine. Evidence was planted. Lamb's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll take you in. And then he looks at Logan. He's like, I'll be back for you later, I'm sure.
Yeah, because Logan's fucking mouthing off.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, oh, ho, ho, fuck you. And I'm like, remember the good old days when you two were sitting in side-by-side booths?
Remember when you guys painted the wall together?
Oh, God. The great days.
Weevil lied about his Lily tattoo to protect you.
Uh-huh. And remember when you'd come over to Logan's room, play some Hot Shots golf?
Oh, my God. So then Veronica's like...
I'm going to create a montage, set it to graduation song.
Of just Weevil and Logan? Uh-huh. That'll be our final episode.
There you go, yeah. My next project.
What did Brenton do in quarantine? Well... He has made, you know, those fan accounts on like Instagram.
Yeah, fan cams.
He's got his whole Weevil Logan fan account. He's also got like a fan fiction of just Weevil and Logan as friendships.
Wonder what that ship would be called. I mean, the good ship because friendship. But
I gotta go. If anyone out there is a close friend or family, please reach out. It seems like maybe I'm not dealing with the most stable of humans. Best ships are friendships.
Yeah.
So something I would say. Mm-hmm. You've been around me too long. You're broken.
Yeah, see what you've done.
You could call it Logil. I don't like it.
No, I don't either.
Weevun.
Weevun.
We've gone... Wagon.
Yes, wagon.
But anyway, so Veronica goes down to the sheriff's station because she wants to go like shake Weevil up a little and find out where her fucking necklace is.
Uh-huh.
And Lamb is like, Sax told me you're here to see me. If you don't know who Sax is, he's that one deputy that we see all the time, but like he's just like, we don't know what his priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
The man is strange and loyal, he is convoluted.
Loyalty to Lamb, but not completely. He's like 80% there.
Uh-huh.
Mm, 70.
And Lamb's like, oh, you want to tell me how it wasn't the criminal? And she's like, oh no, I think it was him. I want to go talk to him. And he's like, Veronica, you actually think the bad guy did it? And it's like, the world is not filled with good and bad people.
Mm-hmm.
It is filled with very complicated people who lean harder one way or the other.
And you're leaning pretty hard right now yourself.
So Veronica's like, well, how'd you catch Weevil? And he's like, he ordered a pizza with one of the stolen credit cards and got it delivered to his house. And Veronica's like, huh, that doesn't sound like Weevil. He's actually like pretty good at crime.
Exactly. He's not this much of an idiot.
So she goes up to Weevil and she's like, what the fuck? She's like, I want to look into this. And he's like, well, you could just believe that I didn't do it. And she's like, I'm going to check with the pizza place to see who put in the order and where it came from. And he was like, yeah, a free pizza showed up at my door. What was I going to do? Not accept it? Like, that's ridiculous. I don't have food allergies. I'm not worried about this at all.
Yes. Only monetary worries in Weevil's house.
Yeah. And so he's like, V, it was a frame job. I love what he calls her V. It always makes me laugh.
Yeah. Only person. It's like, yep. Good.
Then she's like, okay, I'll look into it. We then cut to Wallace. He's trying to study. That other guy, what's his name? Mason?
Yeah.
And two lady friends show up and they're from the party the other night. And this is when the friend gives him the number for the tutor.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Because then he's like, I don't want to go out. I need to study. I'm failing my mechanical engineering.
My chemical romance class.
I could you imagine my chemical romance class? Everyone has to wear eyeliner and straighten their hair today.
I'm having a really tough time grasping the three cheers for sweet revenge section. I'm going to test on it on Monday.
I'm not okay. Thank you.
If only.
I would be really good at like a pop or a like I was gonna say pop punk, but I guess that would work too. But on like alternative, like punk-ish, like early 2000s class. Like, that is a moment in history.
It's like a music theory, but like just like, or you could do like punk, the punk to the modern evolution of pop punk and emo.
Mm-hmm.
From Sex Pistols to Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
No sentences.
The mechanics of punk music.
Mechanics of power chords.
I can play four notes on the keyboard. I got this. Or four chords. Yeah.
I remember learning pop punk songs when I played guitar, so a decade ago. But it's not longer than that, 15 years. And it's like, oh, this is just like power chords. Like, I could do this.
Yeah. Being pretty really helps. I noticed that the most successful bands tended to have really pretty men.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or a really strong female singer.
Right. You put them up front. You put them on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, you hide behind the kits.
Though, I mean, you know, like, you got to think, like, Pete Wentz was always, like, towards the front of Fall Out Boy, but, like...
Oh, that's true.
What was the other guy who's the singer?
Yeah, God knows. I don't know.
But, yep, like, he has an amazing voice. Like, he was really good.
You're right. That upends my theory.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here. I'm here to be groundbreaking.
We call it the Wentz theory.
Oh, Pete.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so... he's like, yeah, I know a tutor. And Wallace is like, cool, I'll call the tutor tomorrow and I'll have a movie night with you.
Yes. Three. And I'm like, please, Wallace, let's do something, anything that's more interesting than this.
Then Veronica's like, hey, I'm coming into the pizza shop. I'm looking for the pizza manager. And the kid who's working at the pizza shop is like, oh my God, you're Veronica Mars. I love you. You're so smart. You're so cool. You got that kid off the pole at the beginning of the school year last year. And it's like, yeah, that's Wallace. Or no, it would have been 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who was on the pole? Someone else was on the pole.
I think there were a lot of people on the pole. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Wallace, though.
Mm. I didn't know if it was Wallace or if it was... just the time Weevil was on the pole.
Oh, but she didn't cut down Weevil because she walks by Weevil and goes like,
Maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like, got your just desserts there.
So Danny, that's this kid's name. He's like, Veronica, you're so cool. And she's like, hey, Danny, I need to know who called to order this specific pizza. And he's like, yeah, we can check the caller ID. And then he's like, oh, that was an online order. And so then he's like, I can't help you. Our boss has to call the place to like get the online order, who ordered the pizza or like where it came from or whatever. And she was like, well, what if you pretended to be your boss and you helped me with a little bit of spy stuff? And he's like, oh, you're so cool. Of course, I'll do it. And then he does a really funny impression of his boss.
Yeah, this kid's a natural.
Yeah, he's great at it. And she looks into it, finds out where it was from, and it is inconclusive because it is an area that could have been Weevil. It is an area that could have been anyone on that campus over in that corner where the construction happens.
Yeah, it's a public computer. Hearst.
Veronica's back at square one. Veronica's over where those computers are on campus now. She's sitting over there. She sticks her hand under the table. Purple gum gets stuck on her hand. And she's like, that's so fucking annoying. She turns to look. There's a little girl chewing gum who's a little blonde girl who's an absolute asshole. Like, this child is the reason why I have an IUD. Like, 100%.
This episode comes down a little mean on this girl at the end. I'm like, oh no, a little bit of compassion. I know she's a little asshole, but like...
Well, I mean, she is a little asshole.
But she's in the end, yeah.
She doesn't know better, but she's still a little asshole.
Uh-huh.
You gotta pay for your crimes to society, man.
I guess. Just seemed a little early.
Yeah, I don't know how old she's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, hey, child, did you put this gum under this table? And she's like, what if I did? Like, you go to college, aren't you supposed to be smart? I guess you should know why that gum got under that table. And I would have screamed. She went then back to the back room where all the people in the like office work there. So there's like construction. It's like where campus security is. There's like a couple different like groups back there.
Yeah.
Veronica's like, whoever held the gun up at the party, they had the dust from construction on them, so they must have come from this side of campus.
Yeah, the drywall.
The drywall. So then we cut to Mars Investigation. Cliff's over for dinner with Keith in the office. They're just having a boys' night.
Yep, they're swapping bologna sandwiches.
Cliff's like, let me tell you about this divorce case I have. This woman left her husband. She cheated on him or whatever. She took his dog and she got him put down, which was very surprising to everyone, including the dog, which is just the saddest anecdote. Yeah. Thank God this is fiction. Uh-huh. And all this. And then Keith's like, and let me guess, you're representing her. And he's like, absolutely. Sheriff Lamb comes in. He's like, hey, I've got an investigator with me from L.A. You know that guy you broke into his house, Keith, that to look for his stuff, Steve Batondo, and you pretended to be a federal job that you're not? Well, he's been missing for 52 hours, and you're our number one suspect. And so then Cliff's like, I'm a lawyer. Hold on. I got this. Yeah. He's like, are you gonna actually try to, file or arrest against my client? And they just kind of look at him, and he's like, call me if you're pressing charges, and if not, leave me the fuck alone. And he's like, you know my number, here, I'll give you my number. And Lamb's like, I know it, it's all over the bus stops. And he's like, and it's got that fun little jingle, and he sings it, and I'm just like, I love Cliff.
Yes, more Cliff. Always love Cliff. I forgot to mention earlier, his doing the monster truck rally commercial voice was tremendous as well.
Yeah, it was the best. I mean, like, honestly, I would go see that.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Can you do a monster truck voice?
Sunday.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do the whole thing. I have to think of a script, but
I can't do it at all. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could try, but it's not. I'm not a man, so nobody cares.
True. just kidding. you could probably do a voice.
Not the monster truck voice.
No, okay. Do you have any other local cable commercial voices?
So you have to remember that the commercials in the Central Valley, if they were on local cable, were significantly lower budget than your average local commercials. Like, I remember even in Santa Barbara or like in hotels, like when you watch like the local channels, like in LA and stuff like that, you get like commercials that have like medium to low production value, obviously. But like in Hanford, it's like, I mean, you got to think your biggest city nearby is Fresno. Like, you're not pulling from a talent pool here.
Fantastic.
There was Serpa Automotive that did Serpaman.
Serpaman.
Yes, you can. A super Serpaman.
So it's like
Superman.
Amazing.
Uh-huh. And it's just this like middle-aged Portuguese dude in like a suit. I could not explain to you how
at least have an image
how odd it was. I'm sure, I don't know if we can find it online, probably. But I mean, you know, like it's not the same. Like, we didn't really have big local chains that had commercials.
Yeah, there was always something happening at Qualcomm Stadium. So that's where you got like the monster truck rally one, and then also that there was like big sale, like car sales or something happening on there.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, we did not have that. But you know, whatever. We had our own little, we had destruction derbies. You didn't need a commercial. You just knew when it was happening.
Sounds much better.
Have you ever been to a destruction derby?
Nope.
Oh, it's awful. They used to have them at the fair. I'm sure they still do, but we'll have to go for the fair one year. I'll take you to the Kings County Fair.
Perfect. I'd love to see it. I'm sure the sound is very loud.
The Destruction Derby?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's loud. The whole fair is pretty loud. Imagine that.
I just meant cars going into each other.
The rides. Yeah. I like to go look at the animals. I like to go talk to the cows.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know, it's usually not a good time for them after that.
Oh,
yeah.
Why? they not like fall?
Well, you know, they do the fair in summer. It's just so hot for those poor cows.
Oh yeah, that's you're right. You're right.
God, it's so sad. I was very glad I went vegetarian in high school, because then when I'd go to the fair and meet my friends' animals, I was like, I know I'm not eating your pet.
Yeah.
Though Jesus. Usually it's, you know, the lady cows. I don't know if they're always usually eaten or they're just there for the la leche.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm. Versus the bulls or steers, or
right, which are no such luck.
Yeah. But yeah. So back to the cowless town of Neptune. I assume they don't have any agriculture there.
I don't think so either, being a coastal town.
Do cows not like the ocean?
They do, but they just don't have enough space because, you know, all the private property and neighborhoods and tract homes and stuff they put up.
Yeah, you know, when the cows lost their land.
Yeah, no, they're still upset about it.
Could you imagine?
We used to be on the beach.
The cows on the beach.
Oh, God, got through the fence.
Could you imagine just like a hilarious looking, just like classic ass cow like laying on the beach?
I imagine a herd with like half of them on the sand and then half of them
in the water.
Yeah, like ankle deep water. Right. Oh, God. We were going to go surfing, but the cows got out again, so they took over like our spot.
Oh, God. So Veronica's like, hey, Dean O'Dell, did you kidnap Batondo? Where's your wife's ex-husband? And he's like, she kidnapped him and went to Mexico that's a different note. I was like, went to Mexico with one of the maintenance guys, found the gun. Like, I just didn't.
Huh?
They were two separate lines. I just skipped the bullet point.
Makes sense. No maintenance guys, no guns.
I mean, there are. That'll be in a second. But uh-huh. Yeah, so she kidnapped him and went to Mexico and took him to get his bone marrow.
Yeah. So Keith and Dean O'Dell are like, let's go.
Yeah, we're going to go Hunter.
Wee, wee, wee.
Hunter down. One of the maintenance guys ended up finding the prop guns that were used in the robbery, because the guns that were used in the robbery were not real guns. They are prop guns.
Yes. From
So then Veronica's like, let me go check with the theater department. Where did these prop guns come from? The theater department's like, we don't use prop guns. That would be the film department. The film department fucking sucks. So the theater department at this school has a classic slanted stage, which are really uncommon, I feel like, now.
Yeah, probably.
But the film department put Pam all over it, so it was all slippery.
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck would do that? And then we meet the student director guy, and we're like, oh, yeah, this guy would definitely do this.
Yeah. So then Veronica's like, okay, I need to go see the film department. Meanwhile, we go back to Wallace. He goes to see this tutor. His name is Max. He's like, here's a study guide. You can pay this much for the study guide, or you can pay like double that for the study guide and the answers.
Did he say it was $100 for the study guide?
Uh-huh.
And $200 for the answers?
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Me personally, one of the reasons why I joined a sorority when I did is because of the test files. So like, you can,
that's awesome.
Like, if your teachers let you take home tests or whatever, like, we would put them all. Like, I'd even put, like, I probably still have work in there. I wish I had thought to take it out.
Yeah.
But people would put like blue books of like essays they wrote and things like that. So you could, like, you know what I mean? Like, you could see like what someone did and like if they did really well. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful, I think, for the girls with science majors to see like what other tests had been.
Yeah, I remember there were third-party websites that market, like, they'd email you directly of, like, hey, we have, like, the study guide for this class if you want to buy it. But it was never $100, I don't think.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot. Because
ours were obviously free because you paid to be there.
Totally. Like, I don't think I would ever have $100
mm-hmm.
in college to just blow on a study guide. Wallace is also a freshman, so maybe he still has like some of that summer money saved up.
Well, and he's on a scholarship, so like, he knows his grades are really important, so it could be that he's like, okay, I'll do what I need to do to get these grades.
Yeah, I gotta keep them.
So he's like, I'll just take the study guide. So then we go to the film department. Veronica's like, hey, Logan, find a seat. And then she's like, it's funny. He's like, it's funny how life imitates art. And they look, and the film that the film department did is two guys in president masks with guns running around robbing places.
Mm-hmm.
So then afterwards, Veronica's like, excuse me, Mr. Film person kid. Where are your masks and guns from this? Because somebody robbed me with them. And he's like, yeah, all our props were stolen. And then campus security found it. Surprising, huh? They're awful. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, but they didn't find the masks and guns.
They didn't find the masks or guns. And Veronica's like, interesting. Fishy, fishy, fishy. Meanwhile, Keith and Mr. O'Dell, Cliff calls Keith while they're on their drive to Mexico. Once they've gotten to Mexico.
Yeah, they're in the hospital.
in Mexico. And Cliff calls Keith and he's like, they're actually in San Diego, where Mindy, Mrs. Odell's uncle, is an oncologist.
Mm-hmm.
And so Keith is like, excuse me, Mr. Odell, you fucking lied to me. And he's like, well, yeah. And he's like, you're going to kill him, like, whatever. And he's like, no, we're not going to kill him. We're going to let him go after we're done. We just needed his bone marrow. So we literally knocked him out to take his bone marrow.
Yeah, and Jesus then Christ.
We're just going to do that. And Keith's like, but, you know, you're going to go to jail and your wife will go to jail and the oncologist that helped will go to jail. Like, everyone in this family is going to jail.
This is such a bad idea.
And he's like, yeah, but the kid will live. So, like, I don't care. And I'm like, damn. And he's like, well, what would you do if it was Veronica? And Keith is like, I get it.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder if there's another way to go about this. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah. How much money would have needed to have been involved to get him to just do it?
Sell the Porsche, maybe? I don't know. I guess they do in a way.
So then we go to Veronica's knocking at a door. It's the campus police. It's the house of one of the campus police guys, the tall white dude. She's like, give me my necklace back. And he's like, I don't have it. What are you talking about? And she's like, you stole all the stuff. You found the van. You stole the mask. You stole the thing. You had the fake guns. She's like, and then you planted the evidence and blamed the ex-convent.
Yeah, ex-convent. Weevil when he got kicked out.
It's a weird version of Sister Act.
Sound of Music is what I was thinking of.
Oh my God. Yeah, ex-convict. And he's like, you don't have any proof. You couldn't prove it. And she's like, oh, I have proof. Like, I know that you did it because X, Y, and Z. And then he's like, well, what are you gonna do about it? Like, you can't do anything. Give me a couple hours to find your necklace or whatever, blah blah blah. And she's like, oh, that doesn't work for me. And he's like, why? And then we hear sirens and we realize Veronica was wearing a wire.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sheriff Lamb, etc., come up. Then they, you know, the press come, they do the thing. The Lamb's like, see, isn't it easier when you just help us and participate, like, appropriately? And Veronica's like, this feels dirty.
Yeah, this is the worst of all scenarios.
So then we go back to, oh, never mind. So then, because I already covered it, that Batonda won't die.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the scene with Lamb is when, the little girl comes home from school and her dad is getting arrested, has the time to point out Veronica. And so she walks up to Veronica and starts chewing her out. And Veronica notices that she's wearing Lily's necklace, so snatches it off of the little kid's neck.
Yeah, which once again, necklaces do not break open like that. And you would probably hurt the child.
Totally. I think she wanted to. Mm-hmm. Wallace
goes to take his, he goes to buy the answers for the study guide because the
caves.
Yeah, the study guide's really hard.
Yeah.
Then he gets the test. He goes to class. He takes the test. He finishes really early.
Yeah. Much to the professor's surprise, because the professor's like, ho, 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 time to dig in and mark this up with red. Wait, what the?
Yeah. How dare this kid learn so much so quickly?
Yes, pretty much.
This sounds like racism to me, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
So then at the end of the episode, Wallace gets called in by the professor because I'm assuming he's like, this is strange that you had all of these answers so well done.
Yeah. And it kind of looks like Wallace is getting interrogated, like he knows what's up.
Mm-hmm. A week later, we're at the sheriff's office. Steve Batonda and Keith walk in. Keith is like, look who I found. And the Batonda's like, hey, yeah, sorry, I just like went on this little vacation for a week. I didn't realize everyone was gonna get like think I was missing or get so upset. So like, all's well that ends well.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamb's like, okay, cool, I guess.
Fishy.
And then they walk outside, Keith and Batonda goes to get in the Porsche. And so we realize that they traded the Porsche for the bone marrow and for him to keep quiet, and they had him sign some sort of document around it. So Steve gets the Porsche, but the kid gets to live. So all's well that ends well, I guess. We look in Veronica's email. She just finally got an email from the receptionist at Camp Waterloo. But the email before that one in her inbox is one from Wallace that just says snickerdoodles with a smiley face.
Uh-huh.
Me too, Wallace. Me too. Snickerdoodles are delicious.
Yeah.
Why don't we make snickerdoodles?
Hmm. sometimes, you know, these things just like hit you in the right in the face and you realize you haven't been doing it.
You hit right in the tummy?
Yeah, right in the tummy. Right.
I was always afraid of snickerdoodles as a kid because I was allergic to peanuts and I assumed they had Snickers in them.
Right. I always thought that too before I had my first snickerdoodle and I was like, I don't like Snickers.
Snickerdoodles are delicious though.
Yeah, they are.
She gets the list. So Veronica goes to the house then of Wayne. She finds out the name of that guy who was at Camp Waterloo. The guy that was standing behind Claire at the ATM. His name is Wayne. She goes to the house. She knocks on the door. His roommate answers. And she's like, hey, is Wayne home? And he's like, no, he's in class. And she's like, well, I need to talk to him. And he's like, why? And she's like, he was behind this girl the night she got raped. She's like, let me show you the photo. And he's like, do you recognize her? And she's like, of course I do. That's Wayne's girlfriend.
Bum, bum, bum.
Episode ends.
Yeah. Intriguing.
Indeed.
Yeah. Actually, something's up.
Good notes this time. I was able to follow the entire plot.
High five.
Usually I do not do that. Usually I struggle.
But you did great.
I get
great.
Lost.
A plus.
Thank you.
The episode doesn't get an A plus, but you do.
Aww. Well, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about me.
High marks.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you didn't even have to buy the answers.
No, but I have seen it before.
True.
Does it count if you're retaking the class?
It does.
You can only do it so many indeed. Retakes, so you know.
Right. This is only number two, right?
Yeah. Our doggo just had like a nice little snore behind us.
Yeah.
Shall we do plugs?
Yeah, let's plug it up.
That always makes me a little uncomfortable.
Sorry. What would you like to tell people about? Anything on your mind?
I just got big feelings, you know.
Yeah.
Well, when we're not here doing this, watching Veronica Mars, talking about Veronica Mars, sometimes we're talking about other things on our other podcast. It's called But Really Though. The though is spelled T-H-O. It started as a conspiracy theory podcast. It became a stuff we didn't learn in history and conspiracy theory podcast. And now it is a varietal of all things mm-hmm. that cross our minds.
Totally.
This last week I talked about presidential pets and the first dogs and how Champ and Major are moving into the White House in January and how we'll have the first ever White House rescue dog.
Yeah.
And I also talked about how one president had two possums named Mr. Reciprocity and Mr. Oh, I don't remember the other one. You'll have to listen to find out.
Oh, right. Reciprocity and
something really sad.
God, Bob's Burgers is poisoning my brain, so all I can think of is Mr. Business.
But the possums, and it's really strange. There's a lot of strange things that have lived in the White House, people and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not rambling into microphones.
Oh, well, I was going to say, for this week, you're mm-hmm. talking about Alcatraz, right?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Alcatraz, escapees, kind of like how potentially the geology of the area is why it's so fucking hard to escape. I mean, one, you have to swim across a mile worth of water, but two, how the water flows through that area is really unique.
Yeah. And I'll be talking about UFOs.
Ooh.
So there you go.
When we're not doing that, I am a life and career coach. I help people figure out what the hell they want to do with their lives, how they want to do it, how to find ways to make their everyday life a little fucking easier for themselves because life's hard enough as is. You can sign up for a free coaching consultation over on my website. But really, though, you can also reach out to me via social media. You can reach out to me via But Really Though over on the website. There's a nice little Calendly you can fill out or over on LinkedIn, etc. Whatever your form of social media is. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, where I post more about life and career coaching and this podcast, it is But Really Though, and it is spelled BTRLYTHO.
You can find this podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Mars Rewatch. You can also send us an email to marsrewatch@gmail.com for anything Veronica Mars related or podcast related. And then you can also find me on Twitter at Pyle Brenton. That's PyleBrenton.
It's Mr. Reciprocity and Mr. Protection.
There you go.
Protection.
Perfect. Interesting. I would have never gotten that.
The protection possum?
We never put that together. Boo us.
Well, on that note, stay toast, marshmallows. Want to hear something really funny?
Yeah.
I don't know how funny this actually, but I saw it and it resonated. Let me set this up for success. Want to hear something funny? It might not be.
Okay. Yep. Great. Immediately undercut it.
We call that being a woman. I had confidence. It's gone now. No. So I was on TikTok, and you know how people complain about Disney adults or I don't know, what's something else people complain about, like, but you know what I'm talking about, like, where it's like, yeah, why are people like this, Disney adults?
Yeah, there's a lot of bashing on Disney adults.
There's a lot of bashing on Disney adults. Or like, you know, people, I was trying to think of like another weird quirk that people have. Mouth breathers, I don't know.
Stamp collectors.
I feel like no one makes fun of that because it just like, no, like, I don't personally know any stamp collectors that publicly state that they're stamp collectors.
Right.
If you are, you know, please tell me.
Yeah.
Are you a stamp collector?
There's probably a corner of Twitter that's stamp collector Twitter.
Oh,
stamp
for sure. Twitter. But stamp talk. So someone's like, yeah, you can complain about that, or like, you know, scrunchy people or water bottle people or whatever the fuck you want to, you know, like.
Those are the
Bisco girls.
Thank you.
I saw one that was like, but we don't talk enough about floor people. The people that you'll offer them a seat on the couch or the chair, but they will always sit on the floor or lay on the floor.
We don't like these people?
Or they're just saying they're funny. Like everyone, always, it's like there's like a sound on TikTok and they're like, yeah, we don't talk enough about, like, make fun of enough, like, floor people. And then like how weird floor people are. And I was like, huh. And then I was like, I'm a floor person.
Mm-hmm.
She says, sitting on the floor. I have always been a floor person.
Yeah, I like the floor.
In my sorority, like when we'd do rush and we'd like go talk to people and whatever, like usually you had to like sit on someone's lap or like kneel while you switch spots. And I just fucking popped down on the floor.
Yeah, why kneel?
I mean, well, you know, so you're wearing a skirt, so you can't like sit Indian style.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
But I just like mermaided onto the floor.
Yeah.
I love being on the floor. I've always loved being on the floor.
Yeah. I don't think that's weird at all. Sometimes I just like laying on the floor.
Yeah. And I feel like even if I imagine that our future house will have like hardwood floors downstairs for some reason, but I imagine we'll have really plush rugs.
You know what the great thing about a sunken living room is? You are sitting in the floor.
I know you really want a sunken living room, but then you're vacuuming the sunken living room.
Yeah, that's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm. And what about when we have a kid, if we have a kid, and they miss the step? What happens when my mom misses the step and falls?
Well, she'll land on one of the comfy cushions that are down in the sunken living room.
And then Jim will just trip over a cushion.
Well.
Who put this here? Oh, it's our house, Jim.
Kick the cushion. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. But I'm a floor person.